Today's 5/29/2022, and it's the Lord's Day within the octave of the Ascension. I reposted up a revision on the use of the word hell in the Bible. I did it a little bit better. I reposted a new version of it up.
Yeah.
That was important, but briefly, because the word hell is a Germanic word, Nordic, going back to Viking times. And hell means the netherworld. It means the underworld. It doesn't necessarily mean the hell of the damned. So hell, that's why they were using hell, but they misused it, because they would put it in places where it was clearly talking about the hell of the damned.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, and it should have been more specific. But here's my point. The Latin word, as we know, for the underworld and the lower regions is infernos. And infernos, infernum, and that's what's in the text. And they translate that to mean hell. Now, when you look up what that word means, it's the underworld or the lower regions or the underworlds or the lower regions. I use the underworld just to be concise. You can use either one of those. Yeah.
I got one. It covers that.
Well, you go ahead. Let's see. Hit me with a verse, Brother Bruce. Not the hammer. With a verse.
Ecclesiasticus. I will penetrate to all the lower parts of the earth and will behold all that sleep and will enlighten all that hope in the Lord.
There it is. Yeah. Now, why this was important, because, and Ron brought this up correctly, and it was something we all thought, and Jesus Christ descended into hell. Now, modern day people believe hell's the hell of the damned.
Yep.
And a lot of times when you hear me talk, he's in hell right now. He's in hell burning forever. Or he's in hell. I don't always, most don't hell of the damned. You know what I meant. But technically, hell then at least meant the underworld. So it incorporated, back in the Old Testament era, the Lambeau of the Fathers, purgatory, and the place where the damned are. So hell meant all the places in hell, not just the hell of the damned. But because most people believe hell means the place where the damned are, you shouldn't use it. It's not right. And then there's sometimes in texts where they're clearly referring to the hell of the damned, and they use the word hell instead of the word Gehenna, and we'll go over that in a second. But so you got the underworld, when they talk about the underworld, or the lower regions, infernus in Latin, it's Sheol in Hebrew, and it's hell in Germanic. And there was another one I had, I think. Greek is Hades. It's Hades. And so all those things mean the underworld. It doesn't tell you what part of the underworld. Go ahead.
You mentioned in there, I think, Tartarus.
That comes later.
Okay.
That's the damn place. Okay. So now all these technical terms just mean the underworld, and they don't distinguish the places of the underworld, where the righteous or unrighteous go. It's just that he died, he went down to the underworld. He died, he's in the underworld. He died, he went down to the lower regions. He went down to the regions into the depths of the earth. He went down to the lower regions. Now, sometimes they'll even talk in the scriptures, they'll say, like, the lower hell. See, now, if you're going to use the word hell, that would be mean the lower part of the underworld, the lowest part of hell or the lowest pit. And sometimes you're talking about a place of everlasting fire. Well, now you know they're talking about the hell of the damned. But my whole thing is, especially in the Apostles' Creed, it's scandalous, because a lot of people think, we believe, I put my opinion here, I do believe now, since we were talking to Brother Mario brought this up, and he's the one that was able to help us on this with the Latin word and furnace and all that, so it's Mario's fault because of all of this. So Brother Mario owes me $10. Anyway, when you use the word hell, people think he only went down to the hell of the damned. They're not even thinking. I believe he did go to the hell of the damned now after we spoke about it, to chain up the devil and Satan. So I believe he definitely did go down there. He went down to all the places in the underworld. And so he went down to the hell of the damned to chain him up. But the most important place he went to was the Limbo of the Fathers. That's a dogma. We know he went to the Limbo of the Fathers. So when you say he descended into hell, most people think hell, where the damned are. And that's why you've got jackasses talking like he went to preach to the people in the damned to liberate them. Catherine Emmerich.
Yeah.
The apostate bastard. Oh, he went down there and he preached to the people that were in the hell of the damned. See how they did that on purpose, I think. I really do. To make you think that the hell of the damned people, Christ went down there to preach to them. So it's a really gross thing. It really should be descended into the underworld.
Yeah.
That's what you should have put. Now, if everybody believed hell was just the underworld, fine, you could have used it. But that's not the case.
Yeah.
That is not what people believe, and that's why I think it led us into the Emmerichonal saying, hey, he went down to the hell of the dead and is liberating people. Remember, was it her who said that? Those who worship idols. Yeah. He went and they threw their idols away and they turned to Christ. So that means he's in the hell of the damned. Yeah. It's gross. It's gross. The Apostles' Creed. And the apostle, and the early Apostles' Creed just said he died and was buried. Doesn't say anything about it. But later on, you can see he descended into hell. But the words infernals, or infernum, which he descended into the lower regions, he descended into the underworld. And so I had to go in and correct all the thing in my Bible. I went through all the, I got rid of the use of the word hell and throughout the whole Bible. And wherever I knew they were, now here's the other thing. There's another word that they use in Latin and in Greek, okay? The Latin for the hell of the damned, okay? And the Hebrews use the word Gehenna. And the Greeks use the word Tartarus. When they said Tartarus, that's where the wicked people are. So the Greeks had these places too. Hades, the underworld. Tartarus, where the damned are. Hebrew, Sheol, the underworld, includes everybody in the underworld. Or Gehenna, which is the hell of the damned. So I anytime they're referring to the hell of the damned, and it's clear, I put the word Gehenna. You'll find it in the New Testament, even when Christ is talking, they interpret it as hell. You look at the Latin, it's Gehenna, which is really a Hebrew word. But that's the better word to use. Because again, Christ says, you're going to be burning in hell forever. I said, well, clear. You know, when he's talking about the Pharisees, you're going to burn in hell forever. Well, now you know he's talking about the hell of the damned. Because you could say you're going to burn in the underworld forever, and that would make sense. But and you know, it's the part of the underworld where the damned go. But when you look at the Latin, it's Gehenna. More precise, you're going to go into the hell of the damned. Don't even use it. Just use the word Gehenna. Or you're going to go to the deepest pit. The lowest pit in the underworld, you can say that. The lowest place in the underworld. That's understood to be the hell of hell of the damned. But you, as you notice, when I use hell a lot, all of us, we always mean the place where the damned are. And when you got to be theological about it, sometimes you go, well, here's the hell of the damned. So I said, technically, like there's these three middle places. So if hell means the middle place, then there's three places in hell. The middle place, the literal meaning, you know? But that's not the way people believe it. So that's, and when you look at the Latin translation and you look at the way the Hebrew did it, it's not good to use the word hell because it's misunderstood. Most people misunderstand it. And also they misused it in the Bible and the translations when they were clearly talking about the place in hell where the damned are. And so my article goes over that. And I wanted to write an article about it because some people, why, Brandy, what's he doing? He got rid of the whole use of the word hell in the Bible, you know? And you look at, I got a couple of your Bibles too, you that don't have it, don't use the word hell. They don't because they understand. They use the one person, for instance, said, well, I put Gehenna, or was it the middle? I forget. I got to look at the translation I have. It said they went to the lowest part of the underworld. They went to the lowest part of the underworld. Or sometimes I would keep that, I'd say they went to the depths of the underworld. And that's the lowest part of the underworld. So it took me a couple days, a whole week really, to work on this. Because then I had to go in, there was like 87 times it was mentioned in the Old Testament and about 27 times in the New Testament. So I had to do my searches and replaces. And so now it's more precise. And when you're talking about the hell of the damned, the word Gehenna. And the Jews got that because they say Valley of Hinnom is where they burned all the idols. It was a wicked place. And they would take the idols and burn them there and all that. So then they translated that and they called hell of the damned Gehenna. That's how the word developed. So there, that's a big thing. And I was going to keep the word hell in there and just give that article and say, so whenever I mention hell, keep this in mind. You know, that it could mean one of the... I said, no, don't do that. Just go in there. It might take you another week. Be patient and change it. So I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to see... In my briefs in the end, I used the word hell, but I mentioned. I said in my past works, when I referred to the word hell, I meant most of the times, you know, I mean all three places, because I knew that it incorporated all three places. But sometimes in my lectures, I would just say hell, I mean the hell of the damned. So I would say, unless I otherwise specified. But I said, from now on in the future, it's really better only to use the word hell when you're referring to the place where the damned are.
Yeah.
And don't confuse people. Yeah. And if you're going to use the hell of the damned, use the word Gehenna. I don't like Tartarus. Tartarus is in the Bible only once. It's in 2 Peter 2:4. which is the Greek word for the place where the damned are. And I don't like it because it relates to Greek mythology. Tartarus, Hades.
Yes.
So I prefer the word. You can use it because the Greeks understood it was a place of everlasting wickedness. Just like a lot of the Greeks were allowed to keep their pagan names when they converted, like Apollo and all that. But I don't like it. And it's only in there once, 2 Peter 2:4. The rest of the New Testament, you'll see Gehenna in the Latin for the hell of the damned. So I prefer to use the word Gehenna. But if I'm talking to general people out there, you'd have to explain what that means. Or if I'm just saying hell, I mean the hell of the damned. But it's as we're talking about it now, I can understand the devil's a sneaky bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why Emmerich, didn't also the stinkweed said it too. That he went down here to convert the pagans. The stinkweed. You know who the stinkweed is, right?
Yeah. So who cares if we all go down there and then if we're going to get converted later? Yeah,
right. What's the difference?
That's the problem.
You only get one life, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, I think.
Yeah.
After a man dies, then comes the judgment. But they twisted it to make you believe, like she wrote, that Christ went down to the hell of the damned and preached to them to try to convert them. All because of this, how this word hell started to get, and because back then too, the hell of the damned, you're thinking that that's what it is. But, so that clarified, and I talked about the Apostles' Creed in here too. So that goes back to what we spoke about several months ago, which the brothers remember, and Mario was the one that helped us on that. So Mario gets all the credit for that, and for bringing that to our, for helping us on that. See, all the brothers, we all take counsel, and we all help one another. I can see the Holy Spirit working with us on the during the week on the site, perfecting our work, bringing up stuff that needs to be brought up. So the Holy Spirit's doing a wonderful work within us. He really is, utilizing all of us to perfect this work. And then once, as it's almost perfected, like I think Brother TJ said even, and I think he's correct on that, 90% of the work is done. And like he said, after that, then comes the purification. For instance, if I did have time to go back over all the audios and correct every time I said a pope's an anti-pope, I would do it, but it's impossible right now. I don't think I'm ever going to get the time to do that. There's 300 audios. I'm not going to be able to do that. But just my books are more important. I think I am going to first concentrate on the books. That where I need to correct that. So then the purification process proceeds after that. So what are we talking about? What are we left with here? The 10% is the Bible. And I said the Bible's, I told you, is ready to go up within a month or so. I got all the maps, everything. I'm really working on it pretty good. And I almost was a little impatient, and I was going to keep the word hell in it, in this Bible.
Oh, good.
And I was just going to give the article. And at the beginning, I'm still going to put the article in there, in the introduction. And I was going to say, so whenever I use the word hell, just remember this. It's in the Bible. I said, no, no. Because I looked, I said, wow, it's 87 times in the Old Testament, 27 times in the New. I got to look. I said, then look, do it.
Yeah.
Just shut up and do it, because I'm going to get angry if I don't do it. Because I don't think I'm ever going to get to put out another version of the Bible. Although if I do, maybe I will. I know how all the work I got going. It's long. And like TJ brought up a good point, but they were talking about this. One thing you've got to give the Protestants credit for, and they do deserve credit for this, they do respect the Bible, even though it's a false Bible. A lot of your nominal Catholics hate the Bible, except for your, charismatics. They do get into the Bible, so they're good with that. They are. That's a lot of your Norvish autos even. And they make really good Bibles, what I mean, like pictures, illustrations, references. They do a great job. You look at the Schofield Modern Bible, I like with the pictures and the illustrations. And that's the way, really, I would love to have this Bible eventually be. But I don't think it's ever going to be that way. I don't have time for it. But what TJ said is the most important thing in the Bible I have is the commentaries and the text. The text and the commentary. Unfortunately, we're not going to have time to put all... I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I was talking about Armageddon, and we believe the battle's going to take place at Megiddo, Megiddo, and so I wanted to put. So what I did is I have a picture of Megiddo in the back of the Bible, plate number, whatever. Here's Megiddo. Here's the plains. Here's the thing. That's where your major battles take place. Where the final battle is going to take place. So what I did is I put a picture in the back of the Bible, and I referred to the plate number so you can look at that picture. Now, a lot of Protestant Bibles, they'd have it right where you're talking about it. So if I'm commenting on that page, they give you a little picture of Megiddo. And they're really good on maps and atlases and all. And like I think Brother Augustine said something funny. So he says, I'm sure Rich has those Bibles in his refrigerator.
Yes.
And I do. I do. To their credit, the Protestants do get credit for that.
Yeah.
Think about how scandalous this is, right? Yes. They got a false Bible. They don't have a right to it. We have a right to it, Catholics. We have the true Bible, and we abuse it. Because we're not real Catholics. We weren't real Catholics. We were nominal Catholics. We weren't real Catholics. We were worse than the Protestants. We discouraged the reading of the Bible. Our Bibles were horribly bad text, stupid commentaries. Some of your commentaries are good. Most of them were bad. Most of them didn't have commentaries where they needed to be. And a lot of them had commentaries where they're letting you believe this and that. So you don't know what to believe. But they didn't have the illustrations. They didn't. So, in other words, if ever, and I don't think we're going to have time for this, Second Coming is going to be all over, I would like my Bible eventually be illustrated and updated and have all that stuff in it. But, because I wanted to even put more maps in it, but you'll see, you didn't see it yet. I posted it up. You can see, I got quite a few maps in here, though. But I had to stop. I said, how far are you going to go? But you know what I did, though? There's a great free book, and it's a free one. Even if it wasn't, I'd find a way around it anyway. It's a book on the maps in the Bible, the Atlas books, and this guy did a really great job. And it's like it's a big book. It's beautiful color, all maps, and you can post. I'm going to post it up. So basically, when my Bible goes up, I'm going to have his thing there, and he's got all the pictures in there. You'll see what I mean. He did a really great job. We have another book on it, that big book. On the Bible Atlas, where it shows you all the Phoenician materials, pharaohs, what they wore, the trinkets, the pottery, the things they traded. And it's really beautiful. You know, this is the stuff we should be diving into as Catholics. And this stuff, we are interested in it now as true Catholics. But that's just one sign about these nominal Catholics all these years. You're not truly Catholic if you don't love the Bible.
Yeah.
You can't be. Now, you may not know how to read, so someone can read it to you. And they can read it to you and show you pictures. But if you don't love the Bible with your whole heart, soul, and mind, then you don't love God. And I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
So I had to back off my desire to want to put a little more illustrating things in there just to get the... Because it's really more important just to get the... You can still refer to some of these other Bibles and see stuff, but I got what they don't have. The most perfect text to date. I don't think you'll ever get it perfect. But at least the most perfect text to date. And... wonderful, great, 100 bona fide commentaries with the long commentaries in the back. That's the most important thing and the most important reason why I got to put that Bible up, and I got to put it up soon. And see, I always come up with new things I got to do. Now, the hell thing is an example that I'm telling you about. I was trying to hedge on it a little, but I said, no, even if it takes you another extra week, you're going to feel sorry you didn't put the right word in. So I finished that. And then while I'm doing that, one of the brothers brought up, this is how the Holy Spirit works. Get me the Bible for 1 second. I think it's Baruch 3:4 or 4:3 or 3:4. And I don't know who brought it up. One of the brothers online brought it up. Maybe Augustine or TJ or one of them. Baruch 3:4. And it was interesting because I'll just give you an example of...
Brother Richard?
Yeah.
You know the 521 you put up, the Bible, the latest edition?
Yeah.
For the... It's got all your color pictures in it.
Not all of them yet, does it?
Oh. No, well,
some of them. There's a lot. The next, I got more now even.
Beautiful.
My new one's got more. I'll put it. Well, I think Brother Augustine or Brother TJ brought this up, but it's a good verse to use for purgatory. O Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, hear now the prayer of the dead of Israel and of their children that have sinned before thee and have not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God, wherefore evils have cleaved fast to us. Almighty God, the God of Israel, hear now the prayer of the dead. So you can even be guilty of certain sins, like we talk about venial sins, and they can be remitted in purgatory. And why would God hear the prayers of the dead if there's no hope to remit their sins after they're dead? That's a beautiful, powerful, biblical verse on the defense of our dogma on purgatory, where sins are remitted, venial sins, and punishment due to sins. And that whole ball of light is right here, Baruch 3:4. Now, I never caught that. Brother Augustine or TJ caught it. I'm going to put a commentary on it, and I already have all my other purgatory verses, But I had it in like the topic index where you got to go to each verse to find out. But what I was thinking when I saw this, I should probably write a long commentary on purgatory. The way I looked at it, I needed, you got the thing on, the only other thing I needed to do was on maybe the racial Jew and a spiritual Jew. I was going to do maybe a long commentary on that. And that was it. Now I'm going to have to do one on purgatory, which I think needs to be done. And it's for Protestants, and it's not going to take too long. So, okay. So that I just hope something doesn't come out after these two. Well, see, that's the way it works, you know? Now I got to stop somewhere.